This is episode 123 of Teacher Approved.
You're listening to Teacher Approved, the podcast helping educators elevate what matters and simplify the rest. I'm Heidi.
And I'm Emily. We're the creators behind Second Story Window, where we give research-based and teacher-approved strategies that make teaching less stressful and more effective. You can check out the show notes and resources from each episode at secondstorywindow.net.
We're so glad you're tuning in today. Let's get to the show.
Hey there, thanks for joining us today. In today's episode, we're celebrating the second anniversary of the Teacher Approved podcast and sharing some of the best tips, ideas, and favorite things from the last 2 years.
We hope that you're wearing your party hat because today we are celebrating the 2 year anniversary of having the Teacher Approved podcast.
Yay! Our podcast is a toddler.
Aww.
We wanted a fun way to look back on the last 2 years, so we have each chosen our podcast favorites to highlight in this episode. And we're starting with what we always start with, our morning message. So Heidi, which favorite morning message did you choose?
Well, I have a feeling that we have the same favorite, so maybe we'll share our joint favorite and then each of our own favorites. How does that work?
Okay.
So my favorite was from episode 100.
Which
was the craziest thing that a student has brought to school. And I will have memories of that come like flooding back at random moments, and I'll still be giggling. Like the girl that brought bees and plastic eggs.
That one's epic. I mean, the stuff kids bring to school, it's so hilarious. Like a non-teacher would think this was insane and like this was an outlier, but no. Like every teacher has experiences just like this because kids are crazy. Mm-hmm. I did like the second grader wearing her mom's bra under her shirt.
Oh my gosh.
Or the one that brought the gallon of ice cream for her snack in her backpack. And several who stole their parents' jewelry, a remote.
Or very personal, private items.
Yes. And then all of the like wild items like snakes and mice and rats and birds.
Or the animal parts, the pieces of things that came. Yep. It's like a deer leg left in someone's desk.
Do you remember what the finale one of that episode was, though?
I don't.
It was a second grade boy who brought a tampon and insisted it was his EpiPen. That's how you reacted in the other episode, too.
That's so perfect. These kids are just so, gosh, they're dumb, but we love.
Yep. The teacher asked him if he usually used an EpiPen, and he said, no, but his mom had a whole box of them at home.
That's awesome.
Oh, bless that teacher. So yeah, that one might be forever favorite. I don't know if that will ever be top.
No. I guess we could do a repeat and have like if you didn't share last time, tell us this time.
I bet we could get a whole nother new roundup of favorites.
Yes. Well, I've got another favorite, and this is a huge vibe switch, but it was from episode 112, which was when you have to miss school, what do you do to make things easier for your sub? And we got a ton of great responses. I love this because teachers are just the best. I love how quick they are. They're just so quick to share what works for them with other people in the hopes that it will help them. They're also, looking out for subs. That's not their job, but we know how hard it is to teach a class. So we do what we can. And people had some great ideas like leaving only review work so that, the subs not anything new. That's also helping you out. Or leaving something like K-cups and chocolate to help the sub out with, a little energy boost. I just think it's just such thoughtful ways to look out for someone. And Emily, did you have another morning message that you wanted to talk about?
Yes, I did pull up another one, but it is another funny one. And it is, what student trends are you a survivor of? Do you remember what you were a survivor of?
Okay. Well, I've been teaching a long time, so I've seen a lot come and go. I think the first one that really hit me was from Lord of the Rings, and the kids would go around all the time, like, my precious. And I'm like, no, you do that and you lose it. It will be my precious.
Yes, exactly. And that would get old very fast. And mine that I shared in that episode was that Tamagotchis had just made a resurgence. And so that was a nightmare. And one kid stole another kid's. Like, it was just, and insisted it was his own. It was a nightmare. But a lot of the other, I noticed that a lot of them were dance trends.
Yes.
So dabbing, floss, Fortnite, gritty. Like, I think they're all still dealing with a lot of those.
I have a friend that's a dental hygienist, and she was, you know, cleaning a kid's teeth, and she asked if he flossed. And so, like, in the chair with the bib and her hands in his mouth, he's trying to, like, floss and show her he can do the dance. That was his only reference for flossing.
So I'm going to assume the answer to that question is no. Yeah, some of the other ones were the cup song.
Oh,
poor teachers.
Yeah, that's a lot that of drumming.
All of the fidget stuff, fidget spinners, fidget poppers, slime, like, they're all still, I think, in the thick of that. The freaking cheese touch, I know that's banned at my kids' schools.
I don't understand that.
I know. And my current one that I know is still a thing because my kids will do it is the Liberty Mutual theme and the Burger King commercial.
Oh, that Burger King commercial should be banned.
I know. So my kids will be like, my youngest especially, just the other day, Liberty, Liberty, Liberty. And I'm like, oh gosh.
If only they remembered their math facts as easily.
If only. So bless you teachers for surviving all of these annoying trends.
We love a good morning message. Thank you so much to everyone who has contributed to these over the past couple of years. Please keep answering our questions on Facebook. We love to see responses, and I think it adds so much to our podcast to have all this variety of ideas and input from so many teachers around the world. Okay, Emily, moving on, we're going to talk about our favorite podcast topic. So what is your favorite podcast topic?
Well, it was actually hard to narrow down because we've done so many episodes that I love so much. And I almost didn't pick this one because we've talked about it so often because we say this is our favorite episode over and over and over, but really is my favorite episode. And that is episode 35, where we talk about 5 ways to increase student engagement. I think this episode was the first time that we shared our model of student engagement being like an old-timey scale with novelty on one side and structure on the other. And so when one area is getting too overbalanced, we have to counter-correct by adding coins to the other side. In this episode, we shared ideas for how to add surprise and delight as a way to add novelty into your classroom to get your students more engaged. Do you remember that episode, Heidi?
Oh, yeah. It's probably my favorite, too.
So I went back to look at that episode, and we shared 5 teacher-approved avenues of surprise and delight that were really simple. So the first thing you can do is change something, and that could be as simple as mixing up the seating arrangement or having them writing with a different writing tool, like really simple way that can add a lot of engagement. The second thing was to add something to your day. And adding something to your day is doing anything you don't normally do in your day, adding in a different sort of brain break that you've never done before, using Oreos to teach the moon phases, or it can be adding ambiance to your classroom. I liked that idea of just adding in some music if you don't normally play music, or maybe nature sounds one day. I really liked that idea. The third avenue was to celebrate something. And I loved that idea because it can be things like celebrating a wacky holiday, like Talk Like a Pirate Day, or doing a quick celebration like a 3-minute dance party that you just randomly decide to do, things like that. I think this is an easy one to throw in anytime. The fourth avenue is choice. And this one's another really easy one. Give your students choice about where they're going to sit to do their assignment today if normally that's not something that you do. This one is a really easy way to boost novelty in your classroom by just giving them some ownership over what you're doing. And then the last one was mystery. And it's literally a mystery. So give students something to solve or teach them a mystery math trick, anything like that where they feel like they're getting some kind of surprising mystery is going to make them more engaged. So that episode, we got into so many details. I definitely recommend going back to listen to it. It's for sure my favorite episode that we've ever done.
I love that one too. It was so fun. And I think maybe we mentioned it in the episode, but part of the fun is that it makes it fun to be the teacher when you're able to like surprise kids with something like that. when the kids are having fun, when they're engaged, when they're excited about what's happening in the classroom, it's just like, this is where you want to be. This is the classroom you dreamed of having when you were a kid, and not the like, everybody get out your workbook and da-da-da that you have to do all day long. So especially I think at this time of year when things, everyone's getting a little drained, like really looking for those moments of ways to add surprise and delight, even simple things of like, you can work on the floor under your desk. Like you don't have to do anything as the teacher, but you have just like created magic in your classroom. So I love that one too.
And what was your favorite episode, Heidi?
Okay, well, I cheated a little and I picked a three-parter. So this is episodes 48, 49, and 50. You probably don't even remember what we talked about, Emily. And this was our three-part series on classroom transitions, which is not
ooh la la,
really as exciting as surprise and delight.
We know how to have fun around here.
So I don't even know why we decided to do an episode on transitions. I have a feeling, though, that I was like, how are we going to do a whole episode on transitions? Like, what do you say? As you know, a transition is like 2 minutes long. And you're like, it will be fine, because I always say that and you always say that. And sure enough, we had so much to say. We had three episodes worth to fill. Like, that's like an hour of content on transitions.
Turns out there's a lot to say.
Mm-hmm, or at least for us.
Those episodes are so good, though.
Well, I hope so. I've been trying to think about, like, why these episodes were so transformative for me, because like as a teacher, I'd never really sat down and thought about what went into a transition. I just kind of did what I did, what I had learned the hard way, what to do, you know. But something about like seeing that this minor moment in my classroom day that was almost just like a throwaway, that I could unpack it and that we could come up with three episodes worth of content, it was just this huge aha and how complicated and how layered and nuanced everything is that goes into a classroom. Like a throwaway moment of put away your folders and get out a pencil, like that takes so much work and thought. And I don't know why, something about just seeing it written out like that turned on this light bulb for me about, gosh, guys, teaching is hard. And I think like when you are teaching, I'm going to get real philosophical here. I think when you're teaching, you have to live in the past, the present, and the future all at once. You have to understand what has already happened. You have to recognize what's happening in the moment and know if that's what you want it to be happening or if you need to change something. And then you also have to be guiding everything to what you need to happen in the future. And all of that is going on all of the time in a lesson. And then you take something like a transition, and you take all of that complexity and you compress it into this super intense moment of past, present, and future all at once. And you need these little humans to do like five things in a row. It's a lot. And then like once we had unpacked all of the layers of transitions, I realized that maybe that all of our overthinking and overplanning that we always kind of chide ourselves for, that it could have a productive use. And maybe because, you know, Emily, you and I take everything so deep, it enables us to break things down into specific steps. And then we can also are aware of the potential pitfalls. And I know that, you know, transitions are not going to make anyone's top list of favorite things to talk about or listen about. And they are not our most popular episodes. But like these episodes on transition were a transition for me in kind of moving past my podcaster imposter syndrome. And like, this was a full year into podcasting, but something about those episodes, it just helped me feel like maybe we have something unique to bring to the table as educators and that we have a lot we can offer other teachers. I don't know why it took a year, but transitions did it.
You needed to transition into being a podcaster. Yes. So that's why.
It took 50 episodes.
And I think the thing I really liked about those episodes was the realization of how much of your day could be wasted with ineffective transitions.
Yeah, like that is such a huge time suck. If your transition doesn't go smoothly, not only are you wasting the time lost in the transition, you have all of the time lost trying to get everyone back on track. Like that could easily eat up 20 minutes. And then the energy, like I can just feel it in my body, that energy of trying to like redirect the mass of, you know, 25 other little humans' focus and energy and like get it back where it needs to be. It's exhausting. Transitions are really kind of a make it or break it point as a teacher.
It's so true. And we're always feeling like we don't have enough time. Well, that's a great place to focus if you want to get some more time in your day, is to tighten up your transitions and make them more effective. So that is a great episode. What was the number on that one?
It's a three-parter, remember. So we got episodes 48, 49, and 50. So make sure and go back and check those out. And you could boost the numbers on that for us.
Or listen again. It's worth a re-listen.
Yes, absolutely.
I'm going to re-listen to them.
Hey there, teacher friend. Do you have a question or concern that could use a teacher-proof solution? We'd love to help you out by answering your question here on the podcast. You can submit your questions to hello@secondstorywindow.net and put podcast question in your subject line. Can't wait to hear what's on your mind.
So, okay, besides of our personal deep dives into teaching topics, we've also have some fun roundup episodes where we've got great community response for people submitting their suggestions for things. So Emily, what has been your favorite community response episode?
I loved the indoor recess episode. It was maybe one of our first community response episodes.
I think it was. It was so good.
And everyone had such good ideas. Again, this is one of those things that like nobody thinks about, a teacher also having to become a recess entertainer if it's raining. And for some people, sometimes, depending where you live, sometimes it's days and days of indoor recess on end with children who need to get outside but can't go outside. It is not for the faint of heart. No. And so everyone had such good ideas. I would say, I think my favorite tip from the episode came from one of our listeners, Michelle. Hey, Michelle. She has that plan of each recess having a different type of activity. This like blew my mind. I can't believe I never thought of this. So in the morning, or whatever the first recess of the day is, she does a short video like Magic School Bus or Vooks. And then they eat their snack during that time. Then lunch is free choice. And she only allows computer time for third recess. And I was like, that's perfect. It's perfect. That is the best way to make sure that you're not going crazy with kids cooped up inside all day, is to mix up what they're doing at each recess.
Yeah, that's such a brilliant idea, to make sure that you're getting in this wide variety of activities so that playing Heads Up 7-Up doesn't lose its appeal by the end of the first day, or you know, whatever toys or games you have stashed away. Like having a different focus for each recess is so smart. And in my head, I was like, oh, I could have a planner. And then for each section, I could do... Maybe we'll make you a rainy day recess planner.
Add it to the list.
Oh, the list.
I also liked that it would help with the decision fatigue too, of like, you won't have as much of a panic of what am I going to do for inside recess today if it gets called 2 minutes before, because it will narrow it down into like, oh, it's lunch recess, so it's free choice. So it will be any of my set free choice indoor activities or whatever the recess is. So I like that a lot. And then a couple others that I liked were balloon volleyball, lazy lions, pool noodle drumming. That was a fun idea. They only do it for inside recess, so they're super excited when they get inside recess. A rotating board game challenge, having printable coloring pages for whatever they're into right now, like Gabby's Dollhouse or whatever. There's a ton of other really good ideas in this episode, so definitely check it out. It's episode 46. What was your favorite roundup episode, Heidi?
So mine was episode 51, which was how to reset a bad day. And I know sometimes on hard days, I don't feel like I have the energy to do a reset, and it's just kind of, you know, running out the clock. And that's fine. Sometimes all you can do is get through. But we reached out to our Facebook group and we asked teachers how they coped with hard days. And I just really appreciated all of their responses. So definitely go back and check out episode 51 if you need a little pep talk to get you through some hard days. But here are some of my favorite tips. I really appreciate it. A lot of teachers pointed out that they stop everything and they point out to the kids like, hey, this isn't going right. What do we need to do to get back on track? So it's not just the teacher's job to make sure everything's happening the way it should. They're having the kids have some accountability for it, which I think is really important. Angela recommends taking a break with the kids and acknowledging that the day has sucked so far, and what can we do to turn it around? Then we read something funny, do a brain break, and return to our day. It works great for me. And Tim says, acknowledge that the current plan is not working and ask for suggestions from the students about how to turn around the day. And Jeff suggested Laffy Taffy jokes, which I thought was a win too.
Oh, that's so good.
And then I also appreciated the suggestions from listeners who remind us to take care of ourselves as the teachers. I know that's so hard to do, especially when you're so exhausted, but it really does matter. Lauren says, go home, leave work at home, and try again tomorrow. And Erica says, if the day is over, do what you love. So I just love that. I love how validating it can feel to hear from other teachers that they have rough days too, that we're all in the same boat together.
I love that. So next up, we're going to talk about the episodes we did last summer, our bonus teacher-approved tips episodes, where we had guests share some of their teacher-approved tips, and we got some really awesome tips from other teachers. Heidi, what was your favorite tip from that series?
Well, mine is from episode 72 from our friend Jennifer Martinez, and she shares a small tweak for how you can increase student engagement by promoting higher-order thinking activities. So she gives the example of, you know, if you have a language arts lesson and you have the kids read the story and you give them a worksheet where they're, you know, supposed to identify, you know, the main characters and the setting and all of that. So like we do that all the time. It's handy. It works. It gets the job done. But she points out like just as quickly you could divide the class into small groups, give each one a different story. And then their task could be to create a storyboard or a short skit or something that shows that they understand that content instead of just filling out the worksheet. And by doing that shift in activity, suddenly, right, we've turned just that simple recall activity of filling out the worksheet into something more collaborative, more creative, and it's going to be definitely more engaging for your students. So I think as we're into that spring fever time of year, this could be a really fun way to help keep kids from checking out is if you're using more of these opportunities for kids to collaborate and to really think and interact with their learning so things don't get quite so dull.
That's a great tip. I love Jennifer.
She's got some great stuff. And Emily, what was the tip that you picked to share?
I picked the tip from episode 76 with Sam from Engineer Does Education. And she shared about using SOPs in the classroom. So SOP stands for standard operating procedures, and it's something that you hear about in the business world and the engineering world. And she shared how you can use that idea in the classroom. And so if you think of it like it's the quick steps of a procedure or of any single task you want done in the classroom. And the way to do it is to break down the steps of the procedure or the steps of the process you want the students to do into very specific steps, and then if possible, include pictures. So she had an example that if you wanted the students to get out the math manipulatives in a certain way, that you would have the steps for that posted where you have your math manipulatives so that the students would know exactly what to do to complete that task in the way that you want it done and to reduce confusion and reduce the opportunities for students to go astray on how you want things done. So I thought she has great ideas. And even though she's not an elementary teacher, her ideas are so applicable to elementary too.
I like following Sam's account just for me personally, because yeah, she does teach secondary. So there maybe isn't always a great carryover to an elementary classroom, but I found such great takeaways for just managing my own home, my own life. One thing that sticks out to me is a couple months ago, she was showing her classroom on a Friday afternoon and it was just, you know, chaos. Well, the kids had left, but, you know, everything was a mess and things weren't where they were supposed to be. And so she said that one of the things she was going to do before she left was to tidy it because she said, this isn't how Friday Sam is going to treat Monday Sam. You know, we love giving our future selves a gift. I just thought that was such a great idea to love yourself enough to not make your job harder than it has to be.
Yes.
Even though you're tired.
100%.
We also wanted to share our favorite podcast reviews we've gotten so far. So Emily, did you pick one out?
Yes, I picked a short one. And I don't know the name of this reviewer. It just has her username, which I won't share. And she said, I've been listening to these episodes on my walks and they help me laugh, relax, and think. I love that you share so much great information in such a short period of time. I also love hearing about all your real experiences. I already loved you as TPT creators, and now I feel like I know you. I look forward to every new episode.
Oh, that's so sweet. Well, I picked two, but they're both short. So one is from Mendy416, and she says, after teaching for 16 years, I love hearing these two ladies talk about teaching from a realistic but genuinely happy place. They make my walk cheerful and remind me why I love my job. I guess a lot of people take us on walks with them.
I love it.
And Mrs. K's class said, I've been teaching for 20 years and I absolutely love this podcast. It's a mix of great reminders and new ideas, and I find it to be a wonderful way to start the work week every Monday. And I picked these because I love that what we're saying speaks so much to established veteran teachers. Like, I think it's such an endorsement, I guess. I'm patting myself on the back so hard here. I'm going to wrench my arm. But I think it's such an endorsement. If veteran teachers think you have something valuable to add to the conversation, like, you must be doing something okay. So I'm going to take that as such a win. So I really appreciate that. I really thought when we started that we would appeal more to younger teachers.
Yeah, new teachers who need more guidance.
Yes, but it's our peers, the ones that have been in this as long as we have, that seem to have found us. And we love it. And we love you. So thanks.
Yeah, it's such a great compliment.
And thank you to everyone who has rated and reviewed us on Apple. If you haven't done that already, that would be a great birthday present. Just a hint.
Next up, we're going to share our favorite tips that we've shared on the podcast. What was your favorite tip, Heidi? It's hard to narrow it down.
It was. I picked the tip from our very first episode, which is stop saving things for a special day. And I picked it because it's something that I still have to remind myself of constantly. So the idea is that, like, when we find ourselves holding onto something really awesome that we want to save for just the right moment, we never really find the right moment to use it because we create this specialness spiral of like, oh, well, this, there could be a more special time to use this in the future, a better opportunity. I will be sad if I don't have it then. And then stuff just never gets used. So stop making a special spiral. Use what you have today. Today is special enough.
I love that tip.
Okay, Emily, but what tip did you pick?
I picked the tip from episode 53 where we shared, don't grade everything. Yes. This is one of those tips that I just think every teacher probably needs to remind themselves this of, I probably could be grading less things than I am. Of course, it depends on your grade level and what requirements your school has. But it seems to me that in most cases, a lot of what you're doing in the classroom does not need to be done for taking a grade. The important thing is doing it together. Like, one of the big ones is, do not grade your morning work. Do not grade your morning work. The point of morning work is to review. That's it. You don't need to take a grade for that. The more important thing would be spending time as a class correcting it together. I would not take your personal time to grade morning work. And I see things coming home in my own kids' backpacks that I'm like, I cannot believe that poor teacher graded this. Like, why did she need to grade this? It didn't matter. So there are so many things that I think you probably could get away with not grading. If it's not an assessment, I think you probably don't need to. So that's a tip that I think is worth revisiting in episode 53.
Yes, you have our permission not to grade it.
Yep, we gave you a permission slip.
Okay, and now we love to end with extra credit. So Emily, what is your favorite extra credit?
This was hard because I still love almost everything that I have shared as extra credit. So it was tricky, but I decided to go with connections, the New York Times game connections, because it's still a favorite part of my day that I do every single day. And it just brings me so much joy and happiness. And it's fun to share the scores with my friends who play it. So it's truly a point of connection every day.
That is true.
I just enjoy it so much. Honestly, there are so many extra credits that I could make a whole list right now, but I'm just going to do that one. It's connections. What's your favorite extra credit, Heidi?
Well, my favorite is an extra credit of yours. It's from episode 107. Yes. You made a list of favorite holiday rom-com books. And that has been so fun for me. Like, my favorite is a holiday picture book. Like, that is my catnip, my big weakness,
yes,
my secret shame of hoarding. But right after that is a holiday rom-com. Please sign me up. I want them all. So, like, having a list and seeing all that was really fun to get some fun ideas and to revisit, to share some of my favorites as well as I added to the list that you started. So
I wonder if we should make a non-holiday rom-com book list to share. I'll have to think about that.
Yeah, that would be fun. Thank you so much to all of you who have come on this 2-year journey with us, whether this is your first episode, which maybe this is a surprise if this is your first episode, or you've been with us from the beginning. We're so happy that you're here. please come join us in the Facebook group so we can get all of your fun insights for our morning messages. Let us know what podcast topics you want to hear more about in the future. Send in your questions that you might want a teacher-approved answer for. And if you haven't already, we would appreciate it so much if you left us a 5-star rating and a review on Apple Podcasts. It really does make it easier for other teachers to find us the more reviews you have. And we know that teachers love to help other teachers. So you're not just helping us, you're helping everyone out there find our great podcasts.
Happy birthday, teacher approved.
Yay!
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Teacher Approved. I'm Heidi.
And I'm Emily. Thank you for listening. Be sure to follow or subscribe in your podcast app so that you never miss an episode.
You can connect with us and other teachers in the Teacher Approved Facebook group. We'll see you here next week. Bye for now.
Bye.